The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to The She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. I'm your host, Trudy Kerr, and at The She Word, we like to keep things lively, and this show promises to be very lively. I'm going to call this episode of the show The She Word After Hours, because in this show, I'm going to sit down with three women who aren't afraid to share their thoughts on current topics and challenges facing women today. And I invite you to join in the conversation in the comments on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, or TikTok. And if you'd like to join future episodes of the After Hours editions of The She Word here at the table, drop me a line. But for now, I'm joined by three women who are no stranger to the She Word. Tez Saliba. Hello, my friend. Tez is an actress, a teacher. I'm very reluctant to a singer. I'm reluctant to say mum because you were in the most recent episode of the Mum's Show and you made your opinion very, very clear.
But don't be reluctant. I'm quite proud of
that. She's a mum.
Yes, but I'm not only a mum.
Were very outspoken in that episode, and it's one of the reasons that we're having this show here. Tez, you are no stranger to the She Word. How many times have you been on the She Word?
I don't know. Quite a few times. It's always a pleasure to be here, though.
It's always a pleasure to have you. Sue Caruana. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Sue, you are behind my time, but also you are behind the Keeping It Real reels that we had up until last year with the She Word, which was amazing. This is just you in front of a camera speaking your mind, which is exactly why you are here. You've also been on the She Word as well.
I have.
Fantastic.
I love
Glad
it.
Glad to have you here. And Emily Jones, you are an old timer with the She Word as well.
Yeah, it's also been quite a few episodes.
Quite a few episodes, and also the very first edition of The Warriors
That's
is all
right.
about you too.
Something different.
Absolutely. Well, listen, ladies, I'm so excited to have you at the table because I know that you guys are going to share your thoughts on some really amazing topics. And I'm excited because I know that you won't hold back. And first of all, with that in mind, Sue, what the hell have you got in front of you? This is our first topic. What is this? It's a what? A boo-boo?
It's a la boo-boo.
A la boo-boo?
Yes.
What is it?
I can't believe you actually have one. I'm judging you.
Oh, but what is it? Can we find out what it is first?
Okay, so there is this trend about these little you know, I don't know what you
ugly looking
little
ones.
Yes,
and you attach it
onto your sort of handbag or whatever.
So it's a large key ring.
An ugly large key ring.
I mean, because you see, I have this handbag which has this thing here that you is specifically for attaching things like that. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. See it now? See how good it looks?
Yes, okay. Let's go with that. Looks really good.
And then you can buy loads of outfits for it as well.
So at the moment it's naked.
At the moment it's naked, yes.
Okay.
So I like it
it's
naked.
It's a key ring.
Yes.
It's a keychain sort of thing.
Yes.
Or a handbag
you can put
accessory.
Your keys, but I mean, if you put your keys on it, you're just going to ruin it. Eh? Basically, what you want to do is dress it up and you attach it to your handbag and it kind of like hangs.
No,
there.
Basically
and
what you want to do is get it and throw it in the bin. It's very crach. It's really ugly. I'm sorry, but I really don't
listen,
get
you either
trend.
Love them or you hate them, okay?
Well, and I'm not sure about that. I feel a little bit like I'm kind of torn. Because on the one hand, I appreciate the like maximalist movement that we're moving towards. Like
the what?
The maximalist. Like
what is that?
So we're done with the kind of like beige minimalist, like, you know, not having lots of things around us and charms and things
You're
like that.
You're talking in terms of fashion or in terms
yeah,
of everything?
Yeah, in terms of fashion and the general kind of landscape, I would say, like home things even.
Yes.
You know, like kind of we
more
have this
is
phase.
More, not yeah. less is more. More is more.
Do you remember when the like things about Kim Kardashian's house came out, and they showed like that she had these sinks that, you know, you can't even see the tap and the water just sort of appears out of nowhere, and it's almost like they have nothing on the counters and things like that, right?
Very minimalist.
That was very minimalist, and I feel like that was very much the trend, right? That was the thing. But now the tide is turning, and we have this new obsession with like maximalist culture. So we're wearing all our jewelry. We've got charms on our necklaces, charms on our bracelets.
That's why. Loads of I'm still in the beige.
I disagree. I think it's like kind of giving a little bit of personality to.
Does anyone actually give a shit? I mean, do people actually follow that? Do people follow that trend? Do you not just get a sink because you like a sink? And what?
Yeah, but it's more about this idea that everything's out of sight, right? Yeah. So now there's this thing, and there's this amazing like social media group. There's a young lady who like runs it, and it's called Girls Who Cluster, but it's become like a noun.
And we what, are it's like a hoarder, like
girls people. Who cluster. Not hoarder, but it's like, for example, you know, you've got like, it's like you imagine maybe what like Carrie Bradshaw's apartment would look like, right? Okay. So she's got like little bowls with like some matches from a nice hotel and her keys and her lipstick. All your things that are you and that you feel are like part
did
of your
personality.
Did that
ever go out of fashion? Was it ever in fashion? Because that's
it
me.
Did. That yeah. is, people would put things away. But everybody's like, oh, you want it to look clean and neat.
And as though no one actually
and
lives
as if
there.
Nobody actually lives there, for example, like this
no,
Kim Kardashian sink.
I was always the maximalist.
Well, that's why you like the Labubu trend and the putting things on your bag. You remember bag charms? Like, we used to do that way back in the day.
Yeah, and it's 2000s.
Yes,
yeah?
But it's coming back, just like all of that kind of stuff is now. You know, people are putting like little cherry charms on their bags and like jewelry and stuff. And I like it. And Sue and I were talking about this earlier, that we like that kind of comforting vibe that comes from like a woman with like
the noise, it's
the
makes.
Clacking noises, you know, like your nails
how
and
is
your
that
jewelry
comfort?
And the
how
bag.
Is that a comfort?
I don't
just
know.
Like
I guess
it.
Different
I like
strokes
it.
For different folks.
But no, like genuinely, it. But what comforts you? Because, okay, wait a bit. What comforts you if you are listening to somebody walking and you hear that cling, cling, cling? You're like, okay, it's not a freaky guy. It's not a weird guy. It's a woman. She's one of us.
It's nothing like
that. I wouldn't
say
comforting is the right word for it. I wouldn't say it's comforting, but I like the noise. When I have multiple bracelets on, for example, I like the noise. Every time I move, I hear them going chling, chling.
Irritates me. Yeah.
There you go.
I love it.
But it's that's the same thing with the nails thing, right? Like, there's a lot of people who like that kind of content
and
where you're sort
next.
Of clack, clack, clack.
No, I'm with her.
But there
I
you
am
go.
With Tess. I can't bear that
hate
on
it.
The nail.
It's true. I hate it.
It's. I think it's like a. Like a personality thing. Like some people like it, some people hate it.
You're leading me down a path because I'm thinking about also when people don't have their phone switched on to silent, so when they press the keyboard and it makes the noise.
Okay, that's different.
That's
a message coming in, especially on a chat.
My phone is always on.
We're all agreed on that. That's great. But I want to come back to this boo-boo thingy.
Le boo-boo.
Okay, so it is, first of all, you still have the label on it. Which I'm assuming.
I don't think you're
going
to want to cut that off.
Okay, you don't cut it off.
But I never cut off labels, even on my clothes. Like, I never cut off those things, and I never cut. I'm terrible like that.
No, I don't cut off
those
things.
She doesn't mean the paper ones. She means the fabric labels. You know how some people like snip them.
So, no, that will stay on, you know?
Okay. But it's going to stay on it because it's an original something or other.
Yes.
I've got two questions.
They're not easy to come by, are the originals?
No.
You have to wait. You don't just get... you have to wait. You have to be
what?
In a queue.
It's a coveted,
You have to be in a queue. And you don't choose it. You buy it. It comes in a box. It's in the box in its wrapper, like in a twisty packet, let's say. And then you open it and you find what colour you got.
That's part of the whole thing,
you
the surprise.
It.
Which
it's a kind of surprise.
Yeah, they're collectibles.
Okay, so how much...
Collectibles.
Yeah.
Says I've got to find it.
Of course.
How much?
Oh,
well, 75 or 80 euros, something like
sorry?
That.
Sorry?
But there are some that go for like hundreds.
Go much
more.
Right?
No.
Because I got, this is the small basic one. This is the starter one.
This is the peasant
75
one.
Or 80
75.
Euros, something like that. Yeah,
people are queuing up round the block, like waiting
all night
to like get into shops.
The girl
that
I bought, so there's
ones.
A girl that I know, a lady, and she's selling them in Malta. She gets them in. It's literally a queue behind her front door.
It's a hype thing. It's a hype beast thing. It's like
this is my point. Yeah. This is my point. It's a hype. So, so what happens when this is no longer trending?
Oh God, who cares? She's having fun with it. Let her enjoy
I buy a pair of glasses and then after 6 months I'm fed up with them. Yeah. I mean, I buy it.
But that's not all right either. That's not, I don't like this culture and I know you'll agree with me as well. For sure, it's quite
Cares? We're all going to die. Like, just have a little fun. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm not with you, dear.
I'm with Tess.
All right, you don't want to buy endless.
So you buy a pair of specs. You're not wearing glasses. I buy specs. Look, for example, with specs.
They are my
accessories. So I have loads of them. They're all in different colors. And then after a certain amount of time, they wear out or they break or whatever, and you have to throw it away and buy a new pair. But I mean, you get
fed up. But that's wear and tear. That's
every day. Or a handbag. But even a handbag, today it might be your favorite and next week you don't like it.
Okay. I'm going to point this out. I have one handbag and I only have one handbag at a time.
I vouch for that. It's true. I've gifted her handbags I've never seen on her.
But one handbag doesn't go for every occasion. What, you wear one handbag to a wedding, you wear it to
two special occasion handbags because one's black and one's white. But apart from that, they never come out except for special occasions. We are drifting slightly off the point, but what happens when this is stopped trending? It's $75, so that's a lot of money.
Well, she'll just stop using it, I suppose. And then
you
just
throw it in the bin.
Or she'll put it in her cupboard somewhere.
For me, it is going to be here. It's going to have its pride of place over here until maybe something else takes over. See? That's it.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
I think it's more a statement of, oh, look, I can afford to buy a little...
Oh, come on.
That I can afford a laboob. Oh, my God. No, I...
That's very interesting that you would think... So you feel it's like a status thing.
I totally do.
Are you serious?
Really? Mm. See, I feel it depends...
Possibly you don't care.
It depends who... It kind of depends who has it and what they're...
This is a bit like the Stanley Cup, you know? I feel like we're name-dropping brands of Threat and Center.
But you see, I would never buy a Stanley
Let's
Cup.
Let's not get started on the Stanley Cup.
That's a double standard.
It's practical. You put stuff in it.
I'll buy a normal cup.
That makes no sense.
I have several Stanley Cups and I am kind
of... How many have you got?
Hey, I think I bought three. I've got three.
In different colours, at least, I hope.
Yeah, obviously. Different colours, of course.
Listen, do you have the umbrella? Because I saw the summer Stanley version.
I think that's all a bit, that's a bit much for me.
It's a cup and you can get any brand of cup and you can get a cup that does the same thing, which is cheaper.
I'm so not going to finish your point, but you have no point in my opinion.
Why?
At least it's going to keep your coffee warm. It's going to keep your drink chilled. Is that going to do?
There's nothing practical about it. Because you said it's about a status thing and about the Stanley Cup. And I said I would never buy a Stanley Cup, but you told me you would buy this. But they're different. One is something which is a cup. And
that happens to be good, but at least...
But there are loads of other brands that are good. There are loads of other brands which do the same thing. They keep it hot, they keep it cold. For example, I have loads of cups. Mine all come from Starbucks. Starbucks bring out a new one and I get the new cup or whatever.
There are a bunch of different charms you can put on your handbag.
Of course, and I have them as well.
Why do you need to spend €75 on that ugly looking one?
This particular one, is different. It's a charm, but it's different. But I mean...
Can I come back to the outfits before we move on to another topic? Because we have something to
talk
about.
You can buy all sorts of outfits, but they're all designer outfits. So they're all either Prada, Gucci, Mushek.
You're not going to buy them.
Yeah. And can't you also put a little handbag on them and then get their handbag a Labubu? because that's what I've seen as well. You can get a handbag labubu for your labubu.
But then I think you'd need the larger size one, right?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know why. Like, I haven't.
This
really...
is as far as I'll go, and I might get an outfit.
Okay, let's have a vote. Labubu or not to labubu? If you're in, are you in for labubu?
Look at me. You thought I was an ally. I am all for people doing what the F they want to do, especially with their bloody handbags. If they want to put a charm on it, put it on it. I think it's a bit of fun. I think like people take things so seriously. It's like, whatever, just chill. Like, if you want to get one, get one. Like, it's fine.
It's not fine, but it's 75 euro.
I'm going to say, so you can say, hang on a second.
What is 10 euros these days anyway, Tez? What can you buy for 10 euros?
In or out?
Out. My hands are way down.
I'm down. You're on the fence.
I don't want one personally. And I also, if I'm being honest, I feel like the phase is done. Like now I feel like it's kind of coming
to its own. You're
Yeah, you've had yours for a while.
No, mine arrived today.
That is not what Sue wanted to hear.
No, I don't care. To be honest, let me tell you, because you were saying about the minimalist and the maximalist and whatever.
Yeah. I think that's about
the phases and about the Kardashians, whatever. I don't follow the Kardashians. I don't follow any influencer.
Fair.
Nothing. I'm not influenced like that. I've always been a maximalist. So, for example, I went to get my ears pierced. I pierced 7 holes holes. And I like to wear all 10. Yes. I like a lot. I don't wear one ring. Mm-hmm. I wear loads of rings. I don't wear one. Today I'm wearing one bracelet, but normally I will wear
You wear loads. An arm.
So whatever I do over
Largely.
The top.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's the way I've always been.
And
it's
we
not
do love you for it. I'm love not it. Surprised
that's,
about this.
I love okay. it.
It doesn't mean that you have to follow the trends. It's more just like kind of that you're style at the moment, it just happens to be the most popular one. Do you see what I mean? Mm. Like, it's not that you're following, it's just that what you're doing is just now people are on board.
Emily Jones, labubu in or out?
Lisa.
I guess I have to say in. I mean, I don't want one for myself, but I'm in. Yeah, why not? If you want to get one, go for it. It's a bit of fun. Life's short and bloody boring, so...
Life is not boring. You definitely don't have a boring life.
Right, life guys, listen, I want to genuinely want to ask you about something.
Oh my.
Okay, because I'm not quite sure how to tackle this topic. There is a current trend that I'm seeing online at the moment in TikTok and also on Instagram, and it's about men jumping on board perimenopause and menopause, okay? And they're saying, hey, listen, and they're talking in these conversations. If you haven't seen it, it's probably because you're not in menopause, but they're talking to other men. And they're saying, hey, guys, let's give our women a bit of a break, because if they're putting on, and usually it's these four symptoms, are they putting on weight? Are they disinterested in sex? Are they moody and grumpy? Are they always tired?
I mean, that's every woman... Ever, it's who's having a bad day.
It's every man as well.
Hold on, because I haven't seen
so,
this.
And they're saying, let's give our women a bit of a break. They're in menopause, they're in perimenopause, et cetera, et cetera. Hear me out. I'm all for men getting on board and also shouting out to other men and saying, hey, listen, let's talk about menopause, perimenopause. And, you know, this is a real thing that's going to happen to every single woman. We're there. We know it. We understand it. The thing is, right, there's 65 known symptoms. And the men that are, I think, clickbaiting and jumping on the bandwagon are using these four symptoms that directly affect men. And my point being, if you want to jump on the bandwagon and you want to get on board with perimenopause and menopause, by all means, guys, come to our side, try and understand it. But using those four symptoms that directly affect men is really misleading.
What are the rest of the symptoms, if you don't mind me asking?
Brain fog, aging.
Let me ask.
Bones.
Wait a bit. My point is this: how do we know that they are only those four in particular that are affecting the men? There could be the rest of the 61 that do. I don't think they're picking on those four because they directly. I think the other 61, you just mentioned fogginess. I mean, all of this.
That also affects them. But also, for them to get on board or for them to talk about, don't they have to talk about the symptoms that do affect them? That's how they start. At least we're starting, because I feel, I mean, I am not very pro men. It's not like I stick up for men very often, because I don't.
Just to be clear, in case anyone,
she don't like you guys. You know, if there's any doubt.
But I think that they can't get it right. You know,
but this
they
is can't get asking. It right,
because if they're not on board, it's because they're not on board. If they are on board, it's because they're mentioning these four symptoms. I mean, at least they are mentioning the four symptoms, and those four symptoms are the ones which affect them the most. So that's where at least we've started. I mean, if they have to start from somewhere, and they can't say, you know, if your wife is if her bones are brittle, because I mean, how does that affect him?
But no. Yeah. That's why I'm asking, because it's a genuine question. But I'm trying to navigate how I feel about this myself. But it's kind of like, okay, guys, if you want to come on board and have a conversation about menopause and appeal to other men, why does it have to be about lowered sex drive? Mm. Why does it have to be about your
because
woman
men
putting on
only
weight?
Think I... about dick.
What?
Men, think about their dicks.
It was quite clear.
Men, think about dicks. But let me tell you, this goes back to nature, though. Men, it's all about dick, because nature's purpose of creating a man is to procreate. So he always thinks about getting a hard on, having sex, or whatever, because that's how his, that's what his, women, on the other hand,
I really don't agree with you,
Yes, it comes down to that.
Oh, shit. Nature's, I wish that's what my husband
role.
Thinks about.
Nature's role. Nature's role. Nature's basic instinct role for a man is his dick. Because that's how the human race continues. The man has to get a hold on, has to have sex. They always want to have sex, you know? So I mean,
you're saying that's the only thing that men think about all the time.
No, and you can't assume that all men are like that.
She's saying that that's what catches people's interest in this topic, that probably for a lot of men, as soon as they hear menopause,
you know,
like, do you blame them if they had to start talking about some shit that they're into? I'd be like, okay, bye.
Yeah, no, I'm not. In fact, I would say that in this situation, like, I would prefer that they are having the conversations.
Yes.
Even if it's not maybe exactly what we would want to focus on. But of course, if they're mansplaining, then it's a different kind
of
situation.
Well, this is my point.
What is mansplaining?
Take
it home, Trudy Kerr.
Take it home, baby.
Mansplaining is when a man talks about a topic that doesn't affect them, or that they don't fully understand in man's terms. And that's why I'm saying, because there's no man on this planet that's ever going to have menopause or perimenopause. And so mansplaining away and saying, well, you're feeling this and you're feeling that.
But that doesn't mean that because you don't experience something, you're not entitled to an opinion about it.
No,
they're trying to understand. No, they're trying to understand.
If you have an attitude of, I know better than you,
okay,
as the woman's experience.
Okay,
right? I'd say that's kind of more the issue with it. It's different if it's all about approach, though, isn't it?
But here's my problem, and here's my issue, and this actually applies to an awful lot more than just menopause and perimenopause. And I'm really glad that men are
talking about it,
except that there's two concerns. One, I feel like it's being used as clickbait to get women on board and women following the men, because they're like, oh, look at that, men are talking about menopause. And the fact that they're talking about things like... let me go back one. All the adverts that you'll see for menopause, right? I would say not all, 99% of adverts you're going to see for menopause always have women. It always starts by, have you put on weight? Do you have the additional weight? Are you feeling fatigued? Are you feeling a bit grumpy?
That's also the adverts for cortisol and all that. That's all. It's all there is at the moment is about losing weight.
Right.
Are you a bit thin?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like this, with all due respect, F right off. For me, it's lack of sleep. It's brain fog. It's muscle and joint pain.
But it's
simplifying and making the issue that is very, very big, and menstruation, for instance, periods.
I'm more offended by, for example, the adverts for period products, for example, because most of them must be designed by men. Because, for example, the phrase is, have a happy period.
the fuck?
Are you serious? Have a fucking happy period. Are you serious?
Definitely
a woman did not say have a happy period. And the advert is to show the woman cycling.
Oh, they're always
swimming.
Doing cycling in tiny white shorts. Always. Thing you would ever wear when you're on your period.
Really?
I mean, you want to
I love it. It's true.
But isn't it true? They're always like, I'm going to put on my tiny white tight shorts right up my vaginal arse, and that's exactly what I'm going to choose.
So that you can't see my pad because I'm having
no
happy period.
Exactly. There's no sign that I might be bleeding because I'm not actually a human being. Object for you to enjoy as I'm cycling.
And anybody who knows.
Or I'm playing tennis.
Anyone who's had a period.
Always playing tennis.
Always
as well.
Playing tennis.
Cycling.
Oh my
and playing
God.
Tennis.
It was like, for example, life. they came out with all of these products for having a fresh vagina so that you don't have a. I mean, what about. Have you ever smelled men's balls? Now, finally,
don't
there's a product.
Admit
now,
anything,
recently,
lady.
Recently.
That was a trick question.
No, but recently, about a week ago, there was a product. I finally saw a product to deodorize the balls. Well, finally, thank God.
Can I just,
because
can we
balls.
Just, can we just have an appeal right here to all of our male viewers, and we do have some. Please do go and find this deodorant for male for men's balls.
Or just one La Roche, sure.
Yeah. But do you
it
ever
is,
notice?
But I mean, it was always like men were always saying, you know, because she smells like fishy yeah, down yeah. there. I mean, for God's sake, you smell like smelly socks, sweaty socks. You never heard women going around saying
or
he smells
cheese.
Like
sweat.
You know, yeah. I mean,
but
really?
Do you ever notice that? Because I feel like. Certainly when I was like living in London and things, I started to notice that they were advertising these products for men's.
Bollocks.
What's a nice way to say ball sack? I don't know.
Testicles. Testicles is the
male or full body deodorant, whatever. But do you ever notice that the adverts are always like, stinky balls, use our deodorant. And like for women's, they're like, have you got an idea that your scent might not be quite as appealing as you were hoping for? Perhaps you should use this product that you could use in a very nondescript way.
Well, what are they going to say? Fishwife's vagina.
Well, why is the marketing is so different? Like, yes. It's so different. They kind of like put it in this like subtle, like, oh, we almost can't talk
because
about
women,
the vagina.
Because we're always getting offended. Because women are so touchy. We get offended at everything. Men don't care. Men want
to
know.
Yeah, like stinky balls,
use this.
Men, you
have to be
this.
More direct. Yeah, you can't tell a man, are you a little bit sweaty and smelly down there. They're like, down where?
Like, no, I don't
where?
Think so.
Yeah, where?
Take a shower.
But if you tell a woman, are you a little bit smelly down there? We all know that you're sweaty. So men, you have to be more direct. You have to give it, shovel it to
you
them.
You do. You have to
smelly
be,
balls, yeah. buy this. Women, are you a little bit down there?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we're
okay.
A bit more
I don't mind that.
The communication is
I don't
less direct.
I don't want an ad that's super direct either. It's a bit like, okay, thank you. I got the picture. I read between the lines.
The
you know, I'm not that.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a question though, because I'm listening to this. So we're saying that men is basically an advert should say, do you have a sweaty ball sack?
Well, yeah. that's what they often say. They don't
that's what
normally
she said.
Say
that's her words, not
any
mine.
Problems
right.
with body odor. It's very direct.
Okay. So if there was a female product, like we've just said, that the adverts with for tampons and sanitary towels and all this sort of thing are always, when I have periods, sweatpants, right? Mm. Sweatpants. You're in sweatpants for 4 days,
right.
Unless it's late in the summer. You're wearing the most comfortable clothes you
yeah,
can
like
come across,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
jacksuit pants.
Would that not be a more realistic advert to have?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not
with
particularly...
With a hot water bottle on your tummy, that kind
and
of thing.
And Sue's one of those...
Well, I mean, look, I just don't know anybody who has a happy period, even if you have their sanitary products, even if you've bought the best tampons or the vaginal cup,
yeah,
which
just
I mean,
an
I think
inconvenience.
Is awful. I mean, bloody hell, this vagina...
Uh-oh.
Cup. I'm not into
Uh-oh.
That.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God, give me a break.
You're a moon cup person?
And they're not moon, they're like...
No, but they're so messy. Oh,
I like
God's
the idea
sake.
Of it... But fuck no. Like, I don't know. I can't.
As if you're in the toilet, you're going to take it out, put it into
right.
the sink.
Right. So what happens is,
Mahi, that wasn't the point. You're deviating.
Yes, we are deviating.
Although I appreciate your efforts for conserving
Give
the environment.
Give me a Tampax, please. Let's
but
chuck
I
it up.
Emma, you haven't seen a Tampax in a while. So, right.
Oh. Well, what does that mean?
if you take
are you
HRT,
trying to insinuate that I'm old? Let me tell you.
No, it's because you guys are talking all about pre-menopause or perimenopause.
No, I haven't seen one in about 5 years because I had a hysterectomy. But previous to that, all my handbags, all my purses, any bag that I possessed, any drawer in my house was always full of pads, tampons.
But that's what I mean. Genuinely, I didn't want it to sound as it came out.
So every drawer, every bag was full of tampons and sanitary pads and whatever. In fact, even I had to use incontinency pads at one point, you know. I mean,
we've gone full circle because what's that trending? Maximalist.
Yeah, maximalist.
Whereas I'm the minimalist because I would have one Tampax here and they would sit there waiting. You know, you had them everywhere.
Of course, but I was so heavy. It totally dictated my whole life. I used to, not that we're talking about this, but I mean, I would be probably 15 days of every month.
Well, we are talking about this because I tell you why.
15 days. That's
and
crazy.
Then I'd have maybe 5-7 days, okay? And then I start again.
Do you not find, I feel that like, we're so, like, talking about this, like, this communication around women's bodies and things like that. I feel like it's so, such a shame that we don't, like, speak more openly about things. Obviously, things have become so much more open in the modern day. But, like, I just feel like we don't use language that's clear enough when we're talking about women's health and women's reproductive rights. And
well, how much clearer do you want to be?
Well, I just mean, like, for example, you know, it doesn't always need to be like, ooh, Aunt Flo is in town.
No, exactly,
or I'm on my month. It's like, I'm on my period and I'm really uncomfortable right now.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
I don't want to go swimming today, actually, because I'm on my period and I don't feel like putting a tampon in because I've got
ground. Wait.
Yeah,
wait, slowly. Because I'm wondering if this is a cultural thing. Because when I was growing up, and you guys can probably, well, you can all probably tell me, I grew up in the UK, and we used all of it. Maybe it's an age thing, or maybe it's a culture thing. Because we used all these
euphemisms.
Yeah. Aunt Flo, yeah. Or if you got your whatever it was, monthly or this sort of thing. Nobody would come out and say, "I've got my period."
Yeah,
you just didn't say.
But hold on a second.
Out of milk, bread's gone, and the kids are hungry? Don't stress. There's a Dave's just around the corner. Open 24/7. Or skip the trip. Just tap the Dave's app. Tap. They'll deliver straight to your door. No minimum order, speedy delivery, and fresh fruit packed with care. Dave's cares about you.
Now, what is okay now was not okay then. For example, going back to, let's say, when I was 14. And my parents split up. I think, the second person in the class who had separated parents. Mm. And at that point, you know, the teachers would say, and the head would say, listen, be very, you know, because her parents have split up. And
it was kind of hush-hush.
So it was. Nowadays, you're, be careful because her parents are still together. We've come full circle. It's okay to come from a broken family. What was okay?
That's a horrible word.
But what I'm saying is, at that time, going back to when
As
I
in
was 14,
the broken, I don't like not no, the whole. But, let me make it clear for anyone listening.
But at that time, it was very unusual, let's say, to come from a family where your parents were split up. Now, it's quite mainstream. It was even more unheard of that you were living, say, with a mother and a stepfather. Whereas now, it's pretty mainstream, you know. It happens. So before, we used to be a bit more polite about things. So you wouldn't go out, if 40 years ago you went out and you said, well, I'm on my period, you know. I mean, people would have...
Yes, but it's the shame.
You're shaming it.
Why would that even have to be?
Because it wasn't. Now we are more open. Now we have developed to that stage where we talk more openly about things. But then you didn't. Going back 40 years ago, your husband didn't even come into the delivery suite with you to have a baby.
Sue, I'm going to ask because what you're talking about, if we don't talk about it, if you're saying like we use these secret words,
and
we're we're shaming the experience.
No.
Do young women, do you
I think it depends a lot on how you've been brought up, because there are conversations with certain people, even for example when I breastfed, there were people who were like, you know, it's fine, breastfeed, you don't even have to cover up, I breastfed in summer so it was hot. And then I had other people who were like, mother, cover up. You know, so I'm like, whatever it is.
How but do you it, feel about it?
But it's moving. It's moving.
Yes, we're it is moving. Possibly 50 like years son. Ago, it would have been a definite no.
Of course, my
to
son of 21 is also much more open with his girlfriend than my daughter of 31 was ever with her boyfriends, let's say. You can see how it's developing. The conversations are more open. The boys are more in tune as well, because there were mixed schools going back 40 years ago. There weren't any mixed schools.
I'm not sure I know any mother who is completely comfortable breastfeeding in public. And should she be?
I don't particularly think that a woman should whack her boob out and feed her baby. Personally. I mean, I don't have anything against it.
I think you do you kind of thing.
Yeah,
if my kid. So my experience was in summer, I was possibly at some point frustrated myself. He was feeling hot. I remember him doing this. If it comes to a point, I don't mind covering up, but if it comes to a point where it is then at the detriment of him feeding or not, I really don't give a shit. I'm going to take off the scarf.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I need to feed my kid and I need to get on with my day. But that is me.
I suppose it's just kind of like a general sense of
I'm not going to be like talking to you and be like, I won't do that. I mean, there is a bit of, I suppose, what's the word for it?
You can
do it slightly more discreetly, but
yes, I think it is
sensitivity. Yeah. You're going to be sensitive to your
just
situation.
Not because I'm uncomfortable, because there's a potential that I'm going to make you uncomfortable and I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
But it also comes from your own self-worth, let's say, for example. I mean, recently on social media, they were showing this couple who were having sex. I mean, she was hidden and you could see him, you know, from the... So what? Are we going to just... Everything is going to be okay. So breastfeed, have sex. Well, you know, I think we have to keep certain things, or not we don't have to, but I like that certain things are a little bit private. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem if somebody at the table started to breastfeed, but I would prefer that
there was a scarf
she covered
covering.
Up and whatever. It's just a certain amount. It's just a certain behavior, what is... acceptable and what is decent and
but this is as you're saying, you know? What it was acceptable then and is acceptable now is a never changing thing.
The line
that of like decorum, so to speak, is a very
the landscape has changed, so you have to kind of adapt, don't we? The landscape
and that
has changed.
And I think that you hit the nail on the head. The landscape has definitely changed.
I think
because
so.
50 years ago when I was a baby, my mum and she, the people around her, were not working. They were not having to fit in, you know, the whole working landscape. They were having to fit in taking the kids. Yeah, so they're there. And a completely mental
overload. It's different,
overload.
Very different. But again, I mean, you know, 40 years ago, it was unheard of that your husband came into the delivery suite. Now it's unheard of that he doesn't come with you.
Yeah. Mm.
So now, based upon how we behave now, you cannot judge 40 years ago.
Is that you mentioned that there was this, there'd been something going on with the BBC about cancel culture. And we talked about this because this relates to what was acceptable then and what's acceptable now. And I'm going to read this and I'm going to ask your opinions about it. BBC asked John Turode to resign over a racist remark and then blamed mental health issues after sacking Greg Wallace. Turode was... These guys, they're from a chef.
They do MasterChef. So MasterChef has been going on for years. And it's a cooking show, for those who don't know. In fact, one of our top chefs locally hit stardom because he took part and he did very well in it.
Okay.
Sean Gravina, yes, he did very well in it. And it's been going on for years. And it's sort of like a cult following, you know, I mean, it's a fantastic program to watch. It's presented by this Greg Wallace. He was a vegetable vendor, as far as I know. So that's how he started into vegetables and he grew a whole thing. So he was from the produce side. And the other guy, John, was a chef, an Australian chef.
Oh, it's the Australian. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
So Greg, the vegetable guy who was originally vegetable, there were some
complaints. He's a proper Cockney, like this, isn't he?
And there were complaints. Complaints came out that going back years ago and whatever, that he had certain behavior that was a little bit sexist, and maybe he touched women inappropriately and whatever. And so he was suspended from the program. They stopped actually showing the episodes that he was in, and the whole investigation was launched. Through that investigation, this other guy, Tyrone, it was found that he, or somebody said that he had passed a joke or a comment that was racist. And so here's now...
Can I read this? I'm going to read this, because the dossier upholds a complaint that an unnamed person used a racial phrase once several years ago. Tarode confirmed to this newspaper as it referred to him, but he said, "I have absolutely no recollection of this, and I don't believe that it happened." The BBC also told MasterChef presenter to pretend that he had mental health issues after accusing him of racism, it was claimed. The stunned Aussie, who's 59 years old, was asked to resign after being dragged into the Greg Wallace scandal. And I
can't believe it. Now, again, super unfair, because men literally can't get it right at the moment. And that they are these two men that have done a very good job. They've both been given MBEs and whatever. They are being... Greg actually was hounded and his whole career stopped and whatever, on behavior and on something that was done years ago. And now this Tarot guy is also now suspended and going to have to quit his job on a joke that he doesn't even remember having said years ago. We don't know how many years ago. Now it could be 10 years ago, it could be 15, it could be 5.
Someone has come forward in the meantime.
Somebody in the whole investigation, something. But the point is here. The point is that a lot of men, and now I'm not talking about, because then we mentioned somebody else who was... We mentioned the other guy who was a sex offender.
Jimmy Savile.
Who was the co-host?
No. Jimmy Savile is a presenter and a children's TV.
Prolific.
When I was younger, if I was walking in the street and a guy wolf whistled, there was nothing wrong with it. We walked, we carried on walking, and it wasn't a big deal. Today, if a guy wolf whistles, it's like, oh my God. You see these posts on Women for Women or on, you know, "I was walking in the street and he whistled at me and he called me sexy and whatever. And this is shameful and this is this and that." And I think that we've become very precious today. But I also think it's very unfair that you have these two men who have had excellent careers, who have done this excellent program and whatever. And they are having their lives literally destroyed on something they did years ago, which was, I'm not saying it was right, but it was acceptable then. It's not acceptable now.
So you're essentially saying that they're on trial for something that happened in the past, for standards that we have now.
So these are our standards
then. Because back then, it wasn't something that would have raised eyebrows. You would have gone, oh, he put his hand on her shoulder,
like,
or
Catherine
the small
Tate.
Of her back.
Exactly.
And we had this conversation.
Like Little Britain.
Little Britain, which when I was growing up, if you haven't seen it, it's a comedy show, back then was extremely funny. To the you're smiling. You know what I'm talking about.
That's hilarious.
To the standards back then.
If you had to put it out
at the time. But if it was put out now.
It didn't age well because of cancel culture nowadays.
Listen, it's very strange. Because I feel a little bit that, I mean, Tez and I, we're kind of the same age.
Yeah.
I'm 35. So I feel very much, I'm kind of like in this sort of like splinter era. Because it's like we're not quite like old enough that we're like, oh, back in my day. Like you can kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that that's what saying.
So I insulted her earlier about how long ago she's seen her parents.
I'm joking. Carry on. I'm joking.
No, but what I'm saying is I'm not so far removed from and also I am also a content creator. So, you know, I kind of like see these things also from a slightly different perspective too sometimes.
But you're raising a really interesting question. Are you a content creator?
Well,
because do you have to be very sensitive? Do you have to be?
Of course
you
does.
Sit there and think, I don't want to offend anyone?
I just generally, personally, tend to avoid talking about those topics. Right or wrong, that's just what I kind of choose to do because I just don't want to get into it. And I
you
just
have to. You
I
have
think
to.
It depends
because,
on how far
because
it's
nowadays,
gone.
Yeah.
And I think
nowadays,
it kind of
nowadays
like
if you
is,
say something, I mean, you can be totally...
I think it depends on how far it's gone. I think there is a comment, if it's paused once, I'd be like, all right, whatever, you're trying to be funny, no one laughed, ciao. But if it's something that's recurring, then I'd be like, all right, hat you off, or am I going to take action now against you? You know, that is where...
Okay, coming back to this case here, do you think these guys should be cancelled because they said something they said?
What are they being accused of?
Well, with
is it like no, is it something with, big like a sexual harassment?
No.
Impregnated someone, disowned.
No,
with Tarode though.
But if it's that, if it's that,
with Tarode that it came up in the investigation about Wallace. Okay, we don't know. It was some kind of a joke. Which was sexist.
Who are these people?
No,
Wallace,
no,
whatever.
No.
I don't know what you're saying.
They are the presenters of MasterChef.
All right, okay.
MasterChef UK, okay?
Just to come back to this.
Because there might be people who don't know either who
exactly.
are watching.
Exactly. So, I mean, from here, two presenters of MasterChef. One is being, at the moment, investigated for 83 accounts of inappropriate behaviour. And or inappropriate comments, sexist comments. The other guy...
Like he might have said... You're looking sexy today.
Mm. And what, or, these 83 comments, 83 people have bound together?
83
accusations. So it might have been one woman had, say, 20 accusations.
Okay, so what over the years, so these people came been. Together and said, he told
now,
me that.
Lately, now, everybody's coming out and saying, well, 20 years ago, I was molested or I was raped or whatever. So now there is this culture where these women are going. So these were either previous contestants on the program, okay, or people who worked on the program. And, for example, he would have maybe slapped somebody's bum, for example, or he might have said, your boobs are looking nice, or he might have said, you're looking gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, with all...
Or something like that.
But,
silly
but honestly,
comments like
all
that.
Of those comments that you have just, like, given examples of there, like, if somebody did that to me, I don't think that's appropriate.
I don't think I would be offended.
First of all, don't touch. I mean, if you're touching somebody, like we're way far past appropriate. Like, don't do that. But also, like, I just think that it's complicated. Okay, you have to kind of take it on a case by case basis. You can't. I'm not behind this whole like cancel culture. Like we're on a witch hunt. Okay, the
but
witch
10,
hunt.
20 years ago. As women, if somebody, if for example, now going back over 20 years ago, okay, if I was sitting at the desk and my male boss came and put his arm around me and told me, "Ow, I'll be," I would have thought nothing of it. I would have, that to me was a term of endearment.
Okay.
It wouldn't have been a problem.
Okay.
If today I, 20 years old, 30 years old, was sitting in an office and my male boss came up and put his arm around me and told me, "Ow, I'll be," I'd have a case against him. I mean, seriously?
Oh, God. I don't know about all that, but do you think that that's professional?
Nowadays, no.
But did you think it, would you have thought
no.
it was professional
but,
then?
But yeah, it was fine because you know what? We were more like a family then when we were working. If you worked somewhere and you were happy and whatever, we had like, it was like a family.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's not. Now you go in, you work and you go home and whatever, and it's more like this.
But this is really interesting because it's
you
too...
You can't get somebody today... And judge him today on what how we behave today on something he did in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
But this is the whole. I personally think this is where I think feminism has gone too far.
Yes,
because as you said, I personally think that we as society have changed so radically from 70 years ago where women didn't go out to work in post-war women had gone back into the home and then along come contraceptive pill which meant kid you know women could have kids later and all sorts of things and all these incredible changes and we've gone from there to here in such a short space of time that culturally we're having to catch up as well and as Sue rightly said men are actually getting a bit of a hard deal here because we are all progressive and we're saying okay now we're bringing up the family looking after the home and we're full-time work and we're bringing in half the money and we're doing this as well and we've changed everything culturally so dramatically that we're empowered and we're fighting for our rights as women and so on, that we have equality, but culturally we still haven't caught up. That's what I think. I think culturally in the whole, and that's going to take generations. It's going to take generations.
It takes a long time. It takes a long time, and it takes, because first, myself growing up, my children, even how I brought up my daughter who's 30 and my son who's 20, it changed in that 10-year difference. Mm. And then if they have children, then they'll be my grandchildren, how I behave with them and whatever. But
I just feel that we always have to take things too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's we always being who?
Women. Society.
Society includes men. So are we saying women or are we saying men? Or are we saying both?
I'm saying both. I'm saying everybody. Like just society women in as
particular.
A whole.
Don't you think women in particular though?
I don't know, because I do feel that like there is a certain kind of, you know, like kind of, you get that vibe that when you're alone with your boss or you're alone with that manager or that person you're working with, and you just kind of know that their intention is that they're just being a bit of a perv.
No!
Okay, but wait a second. Because,
no, what?
Because
No, not always. Not because no, I'm stuck no, in a room with a guy, I know something.
No, but I'm saying when you are in that situation, but sometimes there is, then you know.
Sometimes there is. And even 20 years ago.
Okay, yeah. I've understood, you know.
If he did have that kind of energy, you'd That's feel it, I mean. And you wouldn't like it.
Exactly. But there was nothing you could do about it.
Exactly. But today you would be like, have that energy,
even if he doesn't have it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So it's too far. So it's too far, right? Like
yes,
the energy, it's too far. It's like kind of, why can't, it's like, why did it have to be that like 20 years ago we said nothing about anybody making us uncomfortable or being a perv or whatever. And now it's like, as soon as somebody goes, oh, you look lovely today, we're like, oh, you're a fucking perv and you need to be, do you know what I mean? Like, why does it have to go so far in one?
Extreme.
Why can't it just be kind of like that we assess things as as level-headed people? And in fact, I would say that I think that this is where training and professionalism with like HR and things are involved. If you're uncomfortable about something, you can speak to a professional who can then kind of assess the situation and sort of be like, okay, well, I think, you know, in this situation, it's fine. And maybe you are being
a little bit too sensitive.
Overly sensitive and like keen,
but they
to
would
like
never
jump
say
on
that.
Something.
They will never say that.
I don't know about that because I've not had the training. But do you see what I mean? It's kind of like a little bit of a fine line. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, when I grew up in Malta, I did a lot of theatre stuff. And there were...
That's how I know Emily.
Right, that's how we know each other, exactly. And in that scene, there was a lot of like pervy shenanigans, let's put it that way. A lot of things going on. And I remember even when I was like really young, I mean, it's very icky, you know, like when you're like 13, 14, there would be people that you would kind of like work with. And all of us girls would kind of be like, watch that one. You know, you don't want to be like,
and alone in a room with this guy in an audition.
Yeah. Or at a late night rehearsal.
Funny thing
with
is, I know exactly who she's talking about.
So in those types of situations, obviously that should have been dealt with, but we didn't deal with it, right? We maybe like I was very close with my mum. I would like comment it to my mum and be like, oh, I think he's a bit, you know, a bit funny, gotcha. Whatever, right? Like, and then your mum would be like, yeah, maybe just, you know, try not to be alone with that person or whatever, right? But these days it would be like if somebody maybe just said to you, oh, you look nice today, or that dress really suits you in a particular kind
of
tone.
That's
fine. That would be fine for me. But like maybe somebody who's like 15 years younger than me would be like, hold on a minute, is this person being inappropriate? Mm. Like it requires a little bit of like nuance, surely.
But I think that the young ones don't have the social savvy to know. First of all, a lot of them communicate with people online. Now, they're not getting that... social development and maturity through going out, meeting people. I mean, we were going out all the time and you'd learn the behaviours. Now it's everything is over the computer. You
Is that where we get, because we're talking at the table, we all recollect the ICDAR. You know, when you get like a radar, you get the ick.
But what is an ick for you might not be an ick for me.
Standard dicks. I think we all know when. I remember when I was at school, one of our friends was getting it on with one of our teachers, and we all just sat there and was like, no, this is not cool. You know when something, even if you don't know how to explain it, even as a child, you know that when the ick is, when the perv is.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
When you're saying ick, so you're talking about two different things.
Yes,
here.
I think so.
There's a lot of conversation at the moment about the ick being like an unexplained phenomenon that when somebody who you're interested in romantically does something that's very normal.
When you're at a dating stage, possibly.
Yeah, maybe, or your partner, whatever, that they do something and you're like, oh, it doesn't matter, it's not logical, but it's like, it just turns you off, okay?
And
you
get the ick. Or break,
that's
of.
What we're kind of talking about here. This is like a different
Sorry,
thing.
What?
There's an ick. There's an ick. There's
I love
actually,
the fact that me and Sue are like looking at each other going,
there's a page changed. On icks on Instagram.
Like it's kind of like a little bit of a sensitive thing as well, because, you know, people can be so like harsh.
So wait a second. Hold on a second. Because the ick that we're
there
talking about
icks, which I agree with
are,
this.
Are that
no,
print.
I agree
reading.
With
that's
that.
Not that's not what we're
so
talking about.
So what you're talking about is you have a boyfriend that you're in
for
love
example,
with and
or
whatever.
Someone, or you're going out with
or
someone,
somebody you're
whatever,
dating
and you see him,
or whatever.
You see him, for example, tripping over whilst he's trying to put his shoes on, and you see that and you're like, oh, I can't shag you anymore because I just don't find it. I'm turned off. It's kind of like an unreasonable thing.
Yes, like
to
he
be.
Looks great and then he takes off his socks and he has long toenails.
Yeah,
bravo.
Or you see him trip over something. Yeah. Right. You know, it's kind of nasty. Okay.
It doesn't always need to be something disgusting. It can be something he
it
says.
It could be something stupid. Yes. It could be something.
It could be anything.
It puts you off. Yes, but that's human nature.
So that's different. So when we're talking about the ick is like, I feel that's become like a noun now. You know,
it has.
It's given me the ick. It's kind of like an unexplained, you don't really know what it is, but something they've done has
that,
turned
that
you
has
off.
To do
you
with
don't
love Island
to
as well. Love Island culture use icks a lot.
Do they?
Okay, like,
I don't really love that, being educated on this show because
well,
when I'm saying ick, what I mean is, and I love the collection of glass of cans you have in front of you. When I just pointed that one out. When I'm thinking of ick, what I'm thinking of is probably more of the perv dog.
Yeah, that's different.
The perv radar.
That's an ick with a capital I.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
Then okay. No, I'm inventing this. And then they have the minor icks, which is a lowercase ick.
Do you not also feel, because I also believe, and I think this is like across a lot of things, that when people see things online, right, that they kind of like latch onto them.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So for example, let's imagine you're like...
a little bit like a little boo-boo trend. Okay, go on.
Not like that at all, but...
Full and proud.
Go okay. on.
Give that one here.
No, what I mean is, like, for example, it's like, okay, you watch, like, you know, there's a lot of content made about these types of things at the moment, right? Like cancel culture, like, oh, well, actually, yes, I was involved with that person and they were inappropriate with me, right? And then it's kind of like builds up this sort of thing that people are like scrolling and they kind of see something like, and they relate to it and they think, oh, yeah, actually that happened with my teacher or my... whatever, and they kind of like relate it back to a situation that's happened to them.
But they sometimes take it out of context as well.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I feel that people are so desperate
for attention and to be venerated for being a victim that sometimes if somebody sees that somebody gets attention and venerated and glorified I'm not being disrespectful for anyone who really goes through trauma.
Of course
but
not.
Sometimes if someone sees somebody and sees that they are being protected or being
protected, yes.
Exactly. Because of the situation they're going through, they think, okay, I want that.
Yes, or maybe maybe they don't know. Maybe they genuinely feel that it has been inappropriate, but maybe that's because they don't know yet, because they're really young or whatever. They haven't had like life experience to know whether that's actually a serious situation or not. And that's where we have to have a little bit of like discrepancy. Mm-hmm. You know, that like situations have to be, you have to take people seriously, but then at the same time, you have to be able to say whether something...
What a hard line to draw, Emma.
But that's the thing, it's not
hard. Very hard. But you know what?
It's a nuanced situation. Every situation has to be taken individually. You can't just like sweepingly generalize that this is one way and this is the other. Like, there's nuance involved. I think, though,
that we're all born with that kind of gut feeling about when something is right and something is wrong.
That's true.
And that gut feeling is something that you have to listen to. And then I think that as well, as we grow up, as we're young and we grow up and we are socializing with our peers, we are learning and maturing emotionally, and what is right and what is wrong and what is acceptable and what isn't, and maybe what is right for you is not right for me and whatever, and we all find our own
culture
levels.
Comes into it,
and we all, exactly
it.
Culture, upbringing, family, and whatever,
because that's okay, that determines right and wrong.
Culture, family, your family do have a big say and how you've been brought up. Like, say, for example, if you've been brought up in a family that have never worked and have always been on the dole, for example, to you, that's okay to take off the dole. In my family, you never took anything from the dole. You didn't get unemployment benefits and you worked, you went out and you worked. So, you know, I mean, your family...
What you're describing, the instance of this brings us right the way back to this case of the BBC, where way back when in the, let's say, 80s, comedy shows would be referencing... I don't know, black people or gay people or other minorities, as well as majorities, and making jokes at their expenses. And now we're saying that that's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And but you can't go back and judge. So what are we going to get David Walliams and his other guy, and we're going to take them to court now?
Well, they're in quite a bit of trouble themselves at the moment, from what I understand.
Yes, the bald guy, I can't remember his name, he was in trouble. But... again, like, for example, another thing which really, really annoys me is if we go back 30 years ago, if you were an actress 30 years ago and you wanted to get a role in a film or whatever, and you went and spent time with the producer 30 years ago, if you wanted a role in a film as an actress 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if you wanted a role in a... You went and spent time with the producer, whatever, you knew what was going to go on in order for you to get that role. You knew going into that situation that you were going to sleep with him. You knew it 30 years ago. Wait, Tez, 30 years ago, that's how it was, because 30 years ago, that's how women moved ahead. Is it right? No. But 30, 40 years ago, if you were a woman and there were five of you who were beautiful, for example, and going for the same role, the one who slept with the producer is the one who got the role.
And that became socially accepted.
No. And then it was secret and whatever, but you knew that if you... So now, we fast forward 30 years ago, that actress who went and slept with that producer, she can't say now and take him to court, because 30 years ago I came in and I slept with you for the job. You knew. Now, today, in 2025, for something that was done in 1995. You can't. It's not fair.
What do you mean?
It depends
that was
what the thing is.
Not if it's rape or something like that. Forget. No.
That, I think, is the crux of it. Because, and I think we go back to what was acceptable, what then and is not acceptable now is one thing. What is not acceptable then and not acceptable now is something completely different. Mm-hmm. And to be assault or rape or anything like that is not acceptable in any time.
No.
But you're talking about coercion, and coercion has such a fine line.
It's not necessarily coercion, but if when I was 20, I was an actress and I wanted a role.
But that is such a sweeping statement.
No,
as if everybody
who was an actress back then
did this to get ahead.
Let me tell you, the majority of actresses
I don't agree.
I'm sorry, you're wrong. When you go back to those times, if, for example, I'm just talking about this particular kind of job, if you wanted to get a role and you on your own went to the producer because he told you, come and have coffee, you didn't really think that you were going to go and drink coffee and then you were going to leave. You knew what he was asking you to the house for. You knew what you were going to do, and you willingly went there because that was how you got the job. Today, If today in 2025...
What about your talent? What about your work ethic? That didn't speak anything.
Of course it spoke. Of course it spoke. But then...
there would have been 10,000 other people who have the same work ethic and talent. So
And we're saying that all the actresses in the golden era got their roles, not because they were talented.
The majority of the... Not, no.
Hold on, but that's
they
not
were talented.
That's not what I'm saying.
Tess, calm down and listen to what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is...
That
I'm not
then,
Anka, I'm time. I am what at, I'm at saying the same
is,
level.
What I'm saying is that 30 years ago, I'm not saying it was right that the producer slept with you and gave you the role because he slept with you. I'm not saying it was right. But you as the female went to his house and you knew what he was going to expect from you and you knew that that was going to land you the role. Now, you cannot...
I don't think they all knew it.
They did. You are maybe too young, but believe me, they did. Believe me, they did. Because believe me, even I at 20 knew if I had to get something, how to get it. Now, I cannot then let 30 years pass, wake up when I'm 50 and say... Zop Allah, when I was 20 and I wanted that job, went and he slept with me and he took advantage of me. And I'm going to take him to court
that
now.
I agree with you. What I'm not agreeing with is how you're thinking. History went down when we don't have proof every single... Maybe a few of them came out.
I'm saying if you were one of these that went there, you knew what you were going for. Mela, now, today in 25, don't take him to court.
Hang on a second. Don't take him to court and hang him. What I think is not... What I wasn't actually understanding, you're not saying that everybody did that. You're saying if you did that. So... Not everybody, not every actress went for a job, slept with the producer to get the job. She's saying if you were invited by the producer to go for a coffee, you knew that it was going to be more than a coffee. That's just a sleazy producer. And that's not every actress. But if you find yourself in that scenario, you knew what you were going to.
Although
I have to say...
You can't fast forward 30 years ago and then take him to court because you slept with him.
No, you can't. But I would say... I mean,
but that's what we're doing
now. Isn't this... Well, that comes down to the question of how far do we take feminism? Because that sleazy attitude of a producer, let's say a producer way back in the 70s, is why we needed to have...
Yes.
Revolution, kind of.
Of course. And I totally agree with it. And I think that people should be given their job or their role or whatever on their merits and what they are capable of doing. It shouldn't be who you know or if you've opened your legs or if you haven't or whatever it is. I mean, it's irrespective. I think we should all have a fair chance at doing it.
Keep your self-care journey on track in just a few clicks with Myoka Spas. Whether for a moment of disconnection, a complete body-mind reset, or a bonding time together, book online stress-free at myoka.com or use the new Myoka app. Complimentary spa facilities on every visit.
We are just for a second going to completely and utterly change the topic, okay? Because Emily said something which... before we sat down for the show, which had all of us going, oh my word.
Oh God, what?
And I think every single woman can relate to this. Now, Emily, you've been through a journey where you have had a dramatic weight loss. Mm. And you were saying, I feel good because I can go into Zara and I can go and buy this. But
yeah, it's...
You said crazy. That no same shop has the same sizes.
No, they don't.
This is the pain of every single woman, and this is going to be where we're going to kind of dive into for our last investigation on After Hours. Explain to me what that is, because I'm going to tell you from my point of view, there are shops that I just avoid.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
Why do you avoid them?
Because I know. I know that my size isn't going to... It's not... I know that my body shape... is not reflected in the sizes. Mm. I've got a big ass. I've got a tiny waist and a tiny back. And around
hello,
here.
Hello, goals. Hashtag goals. I mean,
but
no, are we making clothes for women or are we making clothes for
mannequins?
Freaking, you know, scarecrows or whatever. Like, obviously, women have those types of characteristics. That is female. That is the female body. Like, why are shops making clothes that don't fit any of us? Like, it's so frustrating. And what we were talking about with this issue is that you go into one shop and you can buy something in a size 10 or whatever, and you go into the next shop or even the same shop. Sometimes.
Yeah, it is the same, even in the same shop.
The same shop.
You look at a medium trousers, medium jeans, you find them in one style, you find them in blue, you find them in black, and they fit completely differently. Mm. And I can't understand it. It's the same shop. I don't get it.
But I think because I was watching, because I'm a big fan of Judge Judy, and I was watching once a program on Judge Judy, one of her episodes, and there were these two boys. They were getting this manufacturer to make clothes for them under their label, and one of the things that they were suing him for was because the tops were in three different sizes. When you measured them against each other, they were three different sizes, but the label said all said medium. Yeah. And the manufacturer was saying that this is something which happens a lot in the production of clothes, where the size gets labeled incorrectly.
Yes. Hey.
But I also think that some brands do it specifically to kind of like keep a particular kind of image. Oh, I think there's some brands who don't want to see curvy women or women above a certain size wearing their clothes.
A certain type of woman.
Yes, so they're like, we want this type of person wearing our clothes, so we're going to keep the sizing really tight and small.
Oh, I see.
And it's like, you kind of know as a woman of a
particular size,
but I mean, let's be honest here, Trudy is a straight size person. I mean, she's not a plus size woman. She's, you know, got a beautiful slim figure. So it's like, if she can't, but it's true. But I mean, like, it's not like you're going to have any major difficulties. You shouldn't have any major difficulties going into a shop.
I have horrendous trouble getting anything from the waist down. But then I also have trouble getting things from the waist up, because I've got a big bust.
Do you?
But I do. But this is
small,
quite small.
Your back.
So I'll find something like, you know, I can't get a size 10 because I can't get my boobs. I can't get these. I'm going to call them the girls because I got told off for calling them boys.
I can't get the girls
in them because they don't fit into a smaller size, which
is
very
confusing. I mean, the manufacturer can't do a size 10 small boob, size 10 large boob, size 10.
That would be great. And there are some brands that do that, by the way. But they are very specific and very specialist and expensive.
And expensive, because then
like
there's
the cost.
In
on off the high street to find something, you know, the high street, we call it that these days, the death of the high street. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't walk into...
Yeah, because you can't go into one of those shops that...
Yeah.
High street shops and expect them to...
Yes, although as...
Maybe not as specific, but at least I would expect that a medium in pink, orange, green, whatever color... Mm-hmm.
I find it very depressing, actually, because that particular shop that you mentioned before is a shop that I shop at a lot. And sometimes I'll go in and I'll buy the medium and it fits. And then sometimes I'll just go and take the medium off the rack, go home and it doesn't fit.
But I feel a little bit like kind of, okay, obviously bearing in mind also that I am seeing this now from two very different sides.
Exactly.
I'm seeing this like that, like 18 months ago, I couldn't walk into any high street shop and find something to fit. And now I'm finding that I can walk in pretty much everywhere and find something, no problem. It's a very strange experience. It's nice. I feel very...
You have options now.
I have options, but I also feel very sad and feel that it's very unfair for my past self and for everybody else who is in a body that isn't, you know, like a straight size that you can just walk in anywhere. It's very frustrating that in this day and age you can't do that. Like, hello. But whatever, by the by. The point is that I feel that people put far too much emphasis on their clothes size. I think people wear it like as a status.
This is really interesting. There are certain sizes I would not buy. If I couldn't get it in a particular size, I would rather not buy it than get the size up.
Right. That's
so you're saying if you saw a particular dress that you fitted into a large,
you
wouldn't
buy it
because you refuse to buy anything bigger than a medium.
Because you don't identify as that body type.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
I identify as an extra small. That's how I identify.
And I identify
as a peach.
And I identify as like a 2XL. So it's kind of, it's very interesting. For me, I really don't care what the label says. Because I've experienced for most of my life being plus size that I can't find things to fit. So it's like, I don't care what the label says. As long as I fit into it and I feel it looks good, then I'll wear it.
There's a store that I go to and it's one of my favourite clothing stores. It's not a store that we have very much on the island, and it's not a cheap store. But I go in there and I know that if I get a particular size, they're going to come and say, oh, well, you could get a size smaller. That makes me feel amazing. Mm-hmm. Their sizing is what I would consider to be...
Generous,
but consistent. Always consistent. I always know when I go in there...
For a while, it was like this there, and then I don't know what happened.
What do you mean?
Well, can I ask a question?
It was like what?
The brand you were referring to earlier had a good couple of years that I could pick things off the rack, not try them on and leave. The same thing with a couple of other brands, but recently I don't know what happened, because this is something that's happening across brands, not just this one. Even the fact
maybe
that
maybe you just put on weight, Ted.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Jeez, today. But for example, even the fact that they design tops that assume you're not going to wear a bra with it. Tipo, what do you mean?
That's coming from the catwalk. That's not coming from that shop, because that shop emulates what's
general,
on the catwalk. That's
say.
Coming or from
even
the
fact that there are only crop tops, and I don't like crop tops.
This catwalk thing brings me back to a conversation I've had over and over again, and it's a question. I saw, what's the model of the Kardashians?
Kendall.
Ken, you were here when we had this conversation.
Yeah, because you were talking about her outfit recently, that she was in something that she was spilling out.
She was in an outfit.
Spilling out. Charles.
Let me explain. She was in an outfit walking on the catwalk. It was ridiculous the way that this rigid corset was styled. And she got criticized because she had what they were calling back fat, and that she couldn't walk comfortably. Mm-hmm. Now, this was so rigid, and the way that it was produced, not only did it look uncomfortable,
horrendous.
You could see it looked awful. And she was being criticised. And here's my question.
Yeah, she was criticised, not
she
the dress.
Was exactly.
Yeah,
she was criticised because she couldn't fit comfortably into that dress, rather than the dress
the
being
dress
criticised.
Was too small for her.
No, it was oh, no. The dress was just effing ridiculous. It's nothing to do with
anybody
the size.
Would have.
Yeah, she
no
was
one.
Criticised.
And
for
my point being, where did we get to a point? Where did we get to a stage where the person wearing this ridiculous outfit is criticised rather than the ridiculous outfit? Because isn't
she's,
this...
And she's like a bean
But isn't this what
she's
we're
like
facing?
A bean
isn't this what we're facing as women? If what,
it's impossible.
We,
the standards are impossible.
Right. We are being... We are criticising ourselves because we don't fit into a size 10 or fit into a size 12, rather than saying it's the manufacturer and the billion-dollar industry that lives off making us feel insecure that is at fault. It's the women that are at fault, not the industry. We should be turning that around and saying, this is not what we want. Yeah. We want sizes that fit us. We want clothes that are comfortable yet sexy. We want to be able to go out feeling confident, not feeling like we're not enough.
Chin chin.
Yeah,
really
thank you very
chin,
much
chin.
Chin chin. But am I not right? Have we not got it upside down?
There's also this other phenomenon of vanity sizing. Have you heard about this? So this is a thing where brands make clothes and they're bigger,
but they put them in the smaller
yeah,
size.
Yeah, because women want to feel good. They want to be like, oh, well, I'm in a size 10, even if they're not really a size 10 or whatever.
But it's true. I don't know.
It's very interesting. As I say, because I haven't had this experience, because I kind of like, as I sort of started navigating my life, and realize that, you know,
as a
plus size person.
Oh, right, okay.
Right? When I kind of like decided or made the decision that I was like, right, I am what I am. I'm plus size. I'm not trying to pretend to be something. I'm embracing this and going for it. I kind of like removed all of those sort of ideas. I decided that wasn't what I was going to kind of even engage with, right? I was just like, if somebody was having a conversation about that kind of thing, it's just not part of my reality. Like, I wear what I wear and that's it. It doesn't have any moral binding to me. But I feel that people very much do have a moral, like this kind of emotional feeling to their size, right? With clothes.
Do you have an emotional feeling to your size?
Yes, she does. Because when the size that you normally wear doesn't fit you, it upsets you.
But it upsets me because... it's inconsistent because you get the mediums on top of each other and you see that they are significantly not the same thing. Okay. Not because that is what pisses me off.
Okay, that's interesting. So we all have different, you know, experiences with this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, as I said, I decided that that was something that I was not going to subscribe to years ago when I kind of realized, you know, that I couldn't fit in this and I couldn't fit in that and whatever, you know. I was just like, I'm not engaging in that kind of conversation with myself, even like mentally. Now that I'm on the other side of it in a straight size, it still doesn't really bother me. It's more that I'm just kind of like very surprised because I will pick up something, let's say, like, you know, I'm up top, I have a very small waist. Sometimes I'll find like a small and I'll be like, okay, this is my size. Like it feels very strange because there is some kind of link with your almost like your identity, right?
I think I'm very skeptical about so many things that women face. I always say, follow the money, be skeptical, question, find out why. Who's benefiting from us feeling the way that we feel? And this is part of why we're having these conversations, why we're having this show after hours, not just because we can sit here and swear, but that we can actually discuss these and get to the root of the problem. And with that, I'm going to ask if anybody has a last thought to throw into the table other than...
Le boo-boo suck.
There you go.
There you go. I just think with all of these types of situations, like you just have to approach things with a little bit of nuance and like sensibility and just sort of I just think you can't ever take like a sweeping statement about, not about everything, but about most things, and that things have to be looked at on a case by case basis. I don't think you can just be like, this is cancelable or, you know, have this kind of like witch hunt sort of mentality. I just feel that we need to kind of be a bit more moderate in our approach. Yeah, it always seems to be one way or the other.
I think that's the word. That's the key word. Yeah. I love that idea of being a bit moderate.
More moderate with things. And as somebody who I feel very much, I'm in this kind of like splinter era of like relating or understanding a lot of like kind of what's going on with current trends and the current kind of landscape, but also seeing things from a slightly different like generation ago as well. So... yeah, yes. I just think case by case.
I don't know what to conclude on with regards to what we said, but I'm going to see the future and I'm going to say if there's anything in particular our listeners or our viewers would like us to discuss, to please comment and get in touch with us. So
I really would love to encourage everyone to comment on this. If we've said something, you agree with it, you don't agree with it, if you would like to hear more about it, if you want to get involved in this conversation, you know, I'm really enthusiastic for people to comment.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us would be offended if somebody said, well, that was, you know, somebody said something as a big pile of poo.
And that's what I was coming to, in fact. I think it's very evident that it's totally okay not to agree with what somebody thinks about. I mean, very clearly, so when I didn't agree, I don't know if we disagreed on certain things, but very clearly you can have a conversation with somebody and you don't have to convince them that what you think is correct, and you can just listen to what they say, take it at face value, and that is it.
Yeah, and so, you can also have a difference in opinion.
Yes,
you can agree. It doesn't mean you hate them.
Disagree. Yeah, I think you can agree to disagree.
Everybody has their opinion. Absolutely. And you're entitled to it.
So we're Gen X. So we're always right, right?
No, at the moment we're always wrong. But I think that life has become so stressful. I think it has become really stressful that it's like you're walking in a minefield all the time, that you're afraid to actually have an opinion, you're afraid to express your opinion, that we're ready to jump down each other's throats about having an opinion that maybe we don't agree with, or, you know. And I think that mental health has become more... How would I explain it? More of us are suffering with our mental health. We because there's so much pressure on us, and because everything is so difficult, and because it's so hard to know which is the right way to behave, to what to say, what not to say, and whatever. And I think we all have to really realize that, like Tess says, it's really okay not to agree. It's really okay to have a difference of opinion. And But there's no need to be nasty about it.
Exactly.
There's no need to go for the jugular. There's no need to hang, draw, and quarter somebody. We are all different.
Start insulting, you know, and calling someone stupid. We are all different. Yeah.
We are different ages. We are different. I mean, I think it's great that I'm 55, you guys are 35, and that we can sit across a table and have conversations and be friends and whatever, that, you know, I don't have to only be with my peers age-wise, and that you don't, you know. That even though we have a difference of opinion, that we don't have to be nasty to each other.
No,
definitely. Absolutely. Total respect. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Chin chin. Thank you, ladies. We sit down and do this again?
Yeah.
Boom.
She word unhinged.
That was...
She word after hours.
Really fun. I'm still not convinced about this. She worders, we are really excited to announce a She word promotion with our program partners, Dave's Food Stores. Download the Dave's app, and for the first 50 euro you spend, you'll receive 5 euros off when you drop the She word Dave promo code at checkout. The app is so easy to use. Gives you 24/7 availability, absolutely no minimum order, €3 cash reward for every €33 spent, 24/7 customer service, and delivered right to your door across Malta. Download the app now to start benefiting from the She Word promotion and all the other great reasons to shop with Dave's.